blues. Time after time, I've done my sentence, but committed no crime.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. My guest today is Eddie DeSager, who's been a great guest. We've been talking a lot about schools and his experience working in schools, running schools, teaching. And this is kind of a big topic that is very controversial, I think, especially in the state of Wisconsin. And it's one that I don't feel like I understand well. I think there is, and it's school choice. And so the idea that I think for someone who doesn't have kids yet, and it often feels like this is an issue that falls very distinctly down partisan lines, that if you are a Democrat, you're all in on public schools and funding public schools and think that having school choice is harmful to public schools. And it seems like Republicans have really taken up the charge when it comes to charter schools and school choice, at least in this state. And so your school technically is a charter school or a choice school? Because even there's a difference, right?
Yeah, so we are a choice school. Really the biggest difference between choice and charter is usually backed by a large organization, whether it's UWM, Milwaukee Public Schools has some charter schools that they back. I believe Marquette used to. I don't know if they do anymore. UWM, I think, had one. And choice is usually private and can have religion. Charter schools can also not have religion in them.
Okay. And do they fund it differently?
Yes. The amount of funding is more for charter schools than it is for choice, and it is more for public than it is for charter and choice. So a public schools in Milwaukee public schools, I want to say, and don't quote me on this, I think it's like 14,000 per student, where our school gets about 8,000 per student.
But then that's still, so technically it's private, but you don't charge tuition.
Yes, parents qualify by being at under a certain income threshold, but then once they qualify, so if you have a four-year-old and you qualify, and then you get a job that makes you millions of dollars in a few years, your student is, once they are a part of the program, they stay a part of the program until they leave the program. So if a student stays in a choice school, or a school that participates in a choice program, they can stay in there from 4 years old all the way to 12th grade. If they do leave, then the parents have to requalify, and some parents, as they improve their financial standings, they may not be able to qualify. So many parents, when they're in, they try to stay in.
So I don't even know if you can answer, but why has this become so political? Like, what? Because I think we even saw it, we talked about this, I think, a little over a year ago when we were just in at the Hive. We were at Mike's office, and it was during the state superintendent race between Deborah Kerr and now Deb Underly. Underly had a huge amount of backing from Democrats. Like, the amount of spending they did on that race versus Deborah Kerr, who was kind of backed by Republicans, but they didn't match the funding at all. And I think she got pretend. I mean, there was also a bad tweet that she had sent out, but because she had kind of been embraced by Republicans, there was almost a backlash against her. And you had said that, like, that's not necessarily even her politics at all. It's just become this issue that, I think even now, if I were to make a video supporting school choice, knowing that a lot of the people who follow me on TikTok or whatever the other As Goes Wisconsin channels, I'm sure I would hear about it, because I think there is this like all or nothing, like you either support public schools or you don't. And so what is the danger in trying, or what is the argument of why some people feel so adamant about not supporting school choice?
I think the biggest struggle for people, as someone that's been in school choice, but I've also done a lot of work with public schools, I can understand what people's frustrations are. you know, it is being public. Their thought is it's being publicly funded, and I don't want to fund a religious school. 100%. Do I agree with it? No. Do I understand? I completely understand. I also think there's a lot of misinformation out there. You know, choice schools don't have to do X, Y, or Z. There's so many, and this is not just to schools. This is just everywhere. People can say something and it just gets legs and people believe it and they run with it, as we'll see tonight with the January 6th stuff. But there's so much misinformation out there that choice schools don't have to follow guidelines from the Department of Public Instruction. That's just flat out false. You know, we have to get audited. We go through all the same things. We have to teach the same curriculums. There's really not much of a difference on that. We go through all the same guidelines. We have to do a lot of the same reporting that public schools do. But I think when Scott Walker was in office, there was more of an attack on public schools, and that is how the public perceived it. Whether that was his intention or not, I can't speak on that, but that is how it was perceived. So at this point, then people were pushing back. I personally know Deb Kerr. She was the superintendent at a public school. But it's one of those things, the moment you, and people always get shocked when they talk to me, because on many things, I would say I am liberal with a lot of my beliefs. But then when we talk about choice schools, people will like lash out at me as though, you know, I'm Republican, where it's like, I support any school that's good. If there is a bad school, whether it is choice, charter, public, we need to try to fix it. I don't care, because when it's all said and done, for me, it's about the kids. It's not about the body that's teaching them. I don't care if it's a Catholic school in Waukesha or if it's public school in Milwaukee. I want all of our kids to have a good education. I think parents deserve options. A lot of the parents in the city of Milwaukee, they only get what's put right in front of them. And I don't think that's fair. And I think that is why the program was originally created. Is that still what it's completely about? Probably not, because as you know, over time, you know, agendas get pushed and things get swayed left and right. And that's kind of where we are now, where it's just a strong divide. And I think the people that lose out the most are the ones we should care about the most, and that's the kids.
And so is the assumption on someone who is, for lack of, I don't know what the right term would be, like anti-charter schools, anti-choice schools, is it the thought that by the mere existence of them is taking away from the public schools from getting better?
Yeah, because the thought is that the funding, it affects the public school funding, which it partially does, but public schools are funded much differently than a choice school. So for our school, once a kid leaves, they're gone. We don't get funded for them at the next time a payment comes out. Whereas public schools, and I don't know if this is still the situation. I know a couple of years ago, public schools were on rolling averages. So they were paid whether kids were leaving or not. They're just going on a rolling average of how many kids were enrolled in the school. So their funding is much different. The other difference is if our school runs out of dollars, we close. We can't run a deficit. Our building will close. A lot of public schools can run off a deficit because they can just grab money from wherever money comes from in big cities. And that's not a Milwaukee thing. I'm talking really across the country. It's the funding is not exactly what people think. But when you hear politicians with the speaking points of, you know, they're taking this and they're taking that, people run with it without doing their own research. And I think that's where the more people know, I think the more people will accept. Unless someone is just like, I don't want to fund a religious school, then I completely understand where they're coming from. And I don't blame them for feeling that way, because if I felt that way, there's no, that's a fact. There is public dollars funding religious schools. That's a fact. A lot of other things.
Well, it was a Supreme Court decision that just came down this year, right? I mean, like not even a month ago. Mm-hmm. So the other thing I feel like potentially the reason why this was embraced so much by Republicans or as a party thing is the idea of competition, the idea of merit-based funding. And like you said, like if you are a school that is run almost like a business, because if you don't have enough kids or if you run out of money, you close, versus being a public school that you find a way one way or another, even if you're run out of money, it kind of makes sense of why they maybe would embrace it. But the thing that I hear then when we talk about statewide choice, because you talk about it in a place like Milwaukee where there's a lot of kids, But if you think about, because we have a population decline problem across basically every county besides Dane County, there's less and less kids across the state in any municipality, village, town, county. And so schools are closing because there's just not enough kids to fill them. So you have kids who are on buses for 45 minutes, an hour, just to get to the closest school to them. In those places, I mean, it feels like a charter school wouldn't even make sense because there's not even enough kids to fill them. So it does feel like something that is specific to Milwaukee, but it doesn't even have legs really in Madison either. It's like such a regional problem, like thing down here.
And so in some of the like Green Bays, you have, say, like a Lutheran school where you have a lot of kids whose parents can't afford to send them there. But then you may have, you know, say I only make X amount of dollars. They have 500 kids. They have 20 choice seats available for that Lutheran school in Green Bay. So once those seats are filled, then they have a waiting list. So I think that's part of it. You have a lot of schools. Marquette High School participates in choice program, Wisconsin Lutheran. There's a lot of schools that are very well-off schools that also accept choice schools. And I think there's such a big benefit there because there's kids that I have seen from our school that have ended up at schools like that. And these are opportunities that their parents never could have afforded. And because of the choice program, these kids got a great education. One of our valedictorians, she's the president of the Black Student Union at Marquette now. And she got there. She was at our school, which her mother wouldn't have been able to afford more than likely. But now she's at Marquette. She's went to Pius, dominated there. Now is at Marquette. But like for some of these kids, this is an opportunity that they just won't get. But it's giving kids opportunities. And I think that's what's important. Also giving parents choices. When it's all said and done, every parent, no matter where you're from or how much money you make, deserves choices. And I think that's not just unique to education. People in life deserve choices. And a lot of people don't have choices. They are stuck with what they're given because that's all they can afford. Or that's what their neighborhood gives them. And it's like, how can we give more parents more choices?
So are there solutions out there? I mean, get rid of the rhetoric because, you know, people are going to believe whatever they believe. But are there solutions out there that you've seen that like both can exist and both can get better? So obviously MPS has its own, a lot of problems. And so is there a way to embrace all the different options that are available while also working towards improving MPS? And like, what does that even look like?
Yeah. And I think it's kind of what we were just talking about. Like, there needs to be more collaboration. You know, we're all only as good as the worst school in the city of Milwaukee. You know, if a kid is doing poor at our school, they got to go to someone else's high school and they're going to be doing poor there. So I think everyone can exist no different than you'd go and you see a McDonald's and a Burger King across the corner from each other. Like, they can work. Why can't schools work? The biggest struggle is that we're losing parents left and right in Milwaukee. So now you have, you know, you still have the
meaning
same 100
moving.
Schools. Yeah. You know, you have the same 100 schools, but now you have less kids because parents have left. And I think it's such a deep problem that, you know, we need more funding in Milwaukee to help fix Milwaukee public schools. Why? Because then now you can attract larger companies and their employees that are coming here like, hey, I want my kids in those schools. That's how you get more tax dollars. But until you fix the schools, you're not going to have people that want to do here. So it's like, which one do you fix first? But like, they both are problems that need to be solved. You know, I don't like closing MPS is not going to solve the problem. Like, we need to find ways to fix MPS, to give them support, to be able to give them more money, look at their systems and really dig deep into the neighborhood problems, because that's where a lot of these things are starting. It's like, how can we fix the neighborhoods? Because then that gives kids better chances when they go into schools.
Well, we could probably talk. There's probably a lot of different angles we could go on that, but I'm appreciative to get your viewpoint because I know this is something you work in every day, and I have not even scratched the surface, I think, in the complexity that exists. So thank you for teaching me a little bit about that. All right, we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, another Wisconsin casino. Yay or nay? Think about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.